Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
Beyonce sits lay, Shantae, you stay. You say that's fishy.
Well, I say he's dishy.
We say that's fierce, so sing all my queers. Don't go nowhere, just prick up your ears. The Word of the Gay.
Welcome to Word of the Gay, where we aim to dissect common words in the queer lexicon with regard to their history, contemporary usage in the LGBT plus community, and in pop culture at large.
That's your host, Lenny, and I'm her camp co-host, Brandy. Thanks for tuning in.
You can follow the show at Word of the Gay Pod on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and send us through any word suggestions.
Absolutely. We love a good suggestion.
We do.
Tonight, we've got a very special episode.
Yes.
Do you want to introduce it, Leonard?
Yes, we're doing our sex slurs.
Women's edition.
Yes. For women, about women.
For spring.
Yep.
Yeah. So we've got a number of different words that we're going to sort of cover tonight.
Yes.
The first one, exciting, is muff diver. Now, a muff is a short tube of fur or warm cloth used by women in the past to keep their hands warm in cold weather, which is also sported by me on our Instagram page, for anyone that isn't aware of what it looks like, for a wedding that I was recently a part of.
When they see it, they'll know what we're talking about. No, I did not know that was called a muff.
It's very classy. Very classy accessory.
And muff is basically a proxy for vagina, or more accurately, the mons pubis. And to, that's funny.
Pubis. And to dive on one's muff refers to oral sex, with the diving element implying a certain eagerness we all hope the giver has when they go down on us.
Absolutely. And I guess a rug muncher has similar connotations.
True.
These are pretty funny words, to be honest.
So true.
And then we've got pussy puncher, which is a term that may be in reference to fisting, but I think it's more likely an insult invented by a man who doesn't understand women's sexual pleasure or has a violent hatred of women. Please don't ever punch a pussy.
Agreed. 100%. And last but not least, we have the bean flicker. Flicking the bean.
Yes. A myth about gay sex and female masturbation perpetuated by horny teenage boys, I would like to think.
Well, as we stated with punching pussies, please don't also flick a bean.
Yeah, because the bean, or clitoris, is highly sensitive. I mean, you can go fast or slow, but regular sex isn't a porno, and flicking, slapping, or forcibly rubbing, especially, you know, at the start, doesn't make you a better lover or make the person come any quicker.
No. Do you know that the clitoris has over 8,000 nerve endings in its tip?
No, I didn't.
It does. And
it's highly innervated.
Yes. And it can swell to 300% when it's engorged.
Engorged. I love that word.
I know. I was fascinated by that. Yep. I was like, wow, I'm learning so much about the clitoris.
I'm glad I made you do all that reading to this. So I think we're sensing a general theme that women's sex is mostly just rubbing vaginas together, which is not untrue, but also more that they can't have sex.
Well, not that, like, the traditional.
Yeah, that it's almost like not counted, like you're doing something, but it's not really sex. You know, like it's becoming more and more outdated, that sort of thinking, but people yes. even brought that up during the marriage equality debate and stuff like that. Like, oh, I don't know what women do, so they're not as bad as, you know, gay men. But
rough.
It's, yeah, society often tells us that, you know, it's not possible without a man or without a penis or without a sex toy or without penetration.
Mm-hmm. But something has to be going in.
Yes, something has to be going in. Mm. But a term I was introduced to recently is outer course.
Yes.
Yes.
Outer course.
So it's what some people would consider foreplay.
Yes.
But what some people consider foreplay is actually sex for other people. It's rubbing, kissing. I don't know if I consider just kissing sex, but
no.
if there's rubbing and there's kissing, there's sex happening. Mutual masturbation, yes. Oral sex,
dry rimming. Rimming.
Yes, dry humping. Yep. You know, some other penetrative aspects, maybe
manual
more gentle ones from tongues and fingers and yes. all that stuff. So, yeah, I don't want to imply that this sort of outer course is the only way that two women can have sex.
No.
But it is very commonly a component of having sex. And some people can achieve orgasm through simply just, you know, rubbing on. Well, you can go vagina to vagina. Like, it's not actually, scissoring is not a myth. It's just kind of hard, depending on certain body shapes and types and sizes. But that is possible. And then also, you can rub on someone's leg, someone's butt, like any part of the body to achieve an orgasm.
An elbow.
Yeah, I haven't tried that. so there's that sort of idea. But I don't think that only, you know, you as a gay man would know that. That's not the only way you can have sex through penetration, and I'm sure that
Absolutely.
It's more about, I think that everyone should broaden their perception of what they consider sex. So, like, some people feel like if the other person has to be doing something to them and they have to be doing something to the other person for it to be sex, but, you know, some people use someone else's body to pleasure themselves or have an orgasm, and that can be quite exciting for both people. Someone might, I'm going to say masturbate themselves, but I feel like there's another word for it.
Voyeurism?
It's kind of just like, but someone...
Where you watch?
Well, there could be that, where you're watching, or someone is doing something else to you and you're in a position where they can't get, you know, like, it's just easier for you to touch yourself.
Yeah.
I'm sure gay men do that. Women do it as well.
I mean, I think it's really important to be able to pleasure yourself as well, because you are your primary sex partner.
Yes.
You, yourself. Yep. You know your body. Yep. You know what? You know, you evidently know what's going to get you off to a degree if that other person needs a little bit of assistance.
Yes, definitely. And I don't know, it's probably not as tricky with men, but as we will, you know, discover later in the show as we talk more about
the clitoris
and the women's sexual anatomy,
that
sometimes it you know, it's not always as easy to get someone to orgasm, especially straight away, as a woman doing it to another woman. Oh. Although that's probably easier than a man doing it to a woman. But it's not built the same way as, you know, the penis, and there's different...
Definitely not.
No.
Definitely
so
not.
Sometimes it actually can be a nice part of outer course. I'm just going to say sexual outer course, or just sex, that people do pleasure themselves in the company of someone else, because it kind of can loosen up your inhibitions, make you feel more comfortable, let the person kind of know what you like or how you... Yeah, so I think that's a tip from
Absolutely.
Me to everyone as well. And that can
be
part of...
explore each other's
and
bodies.
And considering that sex not
well.
Being like, oh, well, you were there touching yourself and that person was... doing it's not actually, you didn't actually have sex. I mean, you can't go around, you know, there's people that have never had penetrative sex with a man, and, you know, like gold star lesbians we've talked about, and you can't say that they're eternal virgins, I'm sure, because they've never been.
Oh, I've never had sex with a woman.
Yes.
But I'm not a virgin.
But you've been penetrated.
Not by a woman.
I'm waiting for marriage.
God, I'm gonna be waiting a long time. The look you just gave me was like,
I just thought about
Brandy.
It. No, I was imagining it.
Yeah, I'm walking up the aisle in white.
Yep. No, I was imagining the sex with the woman.
Oh, with what?
You being
with...
penetrated, you being pegged.
Oh, by a woman. Yep. Do you know, a girlfriend of mine.
Actually, it has happened, yes.
Now that you said it. No, a girlfriend of mine has got her heart set on pegging a man.
Yes.
The numerous men that she's sort of come into contact with, there's one or two that have been quite keen, but they've never quite got there yet. But watch this space. I'll report back when she does. She knows who she is. You go,
girl.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's great.
So a lot of the terms that we mentioned at the start, they all reference, you know, just rubbing.
Yes.
Which, you know, is not untrue.
Or avoiding.
There's a lot of, a lot of rubbing involved.
Yes.
But they're all, you know, this kind of negative, either kind of jokey terms or trying to downplay the women's sexuality, I think.
Yeah.
Which kind of ties into how I'm imagining, you know, a lot of the, you know, the rug muncher and the muff diver of the 70s.
Yeah.
I'm guessing those terms, you know, came from males.
We're in the guessing.
Cisgender males.
We're in the guessing.
Yeah, we're in the guessing.
Could be really angry straight women.
Yes.
You never know.
Jealous. Yeah, that kind of have this anger about bisexual and gay women and feeling a bit excluded, left out of the club. Not requiring.
That's obviously, the todger dodger.
The
fact that women can dodge a penis and not miss it.
Yeah, like just them feeling like these women are having orgasms, having sex, having relationships, not requiring me. And that does make people, I mean, that's generally where the homophobia from women, towards women, comes from. You know, with gay men, it's a whole different thing. And with women, it's just that anger, I think, of how dare you not want me, or like, oh, I can turn you, or I can,
that turn me thing. Yeah. But do you think straight women have the same sort of thing as straight men in regards to
Gay men?
Like two men not requiring a vagina?
No, because it's a patriarchal thing.
Right.
I mean, oh my God. There's probably some woman out there that thinks that. I mean, I'm not saying that women, there's definitely women that, you know, hate gay men and, that are homophobic as well. But it's different, I think. They don't feel as entitled to have sex.
Oh, no.
No, I know. I'm not laughing at you. I'm just thinking about the concept of a woman behaving like that.
Yep. Well, look, I was at a bar the other week and my friend and I were just sitting there having cocktails and whatnot, having a laugh, but we could hear comments from these men behind us at this table. It was like, it was during the football. And the girls that were with them were laughing along with just some of these homophobic slurs that were being said. And we just sort of ignored it.
Yep.
But it got to a point where we're like, you know, fuck this. We're just going to go into another bar.
Yep.
But these women, I was fascinated by these three straight women who were laughing along with these men. Are you girls homophobic? Are you still kind of stuck in high school where it's just kind of like, oh, I'm just going to laugh anyway to be with the crowd? Or are you trying to get in these guys' pants? So it's just, let's just laugh at anything.
Or just be liked, not be liked, controversial.
As opposed to look at the bigger picture and be like, it's 2019.
Yeah.
And it'd be the same if it was two lesbians that were sitting at that table and, you know, those girls were saying heinous comments about those two women.
Yeah.
And no doubt those guys would totally jump on board as well.
Yeah. You know, there's still, sometimes you don't know how people talk when you're not around.
Of course
not. You don't really
know. Can't monitor everything.
How genuinely open-minded people are or how supportive they are. But you would think if you were like South Side in Melbourne that women would generally be a bit more...
North Side.
Yeah, North Side, that women, just straight women, are generally a bit more open-minded and sympathetic. It's a bit sad.
It is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, have you ever experienced anger from straight men towards you or any of your lesbian friends in regards to exclusion of penis?
Yes, I have. You know, not that many times because people don't. I've talked about this before. Like, I'm not a total loser, but I don't get hit on. I don't get hit on by women or men very often. So funny though, especially Jess, my girlfriend. She is attracting so many straight men at the moment. It is hilarious.
Wow.
Like, they're just clocking her, and it's the
spring.
Funniest thing.
It is spring.
But she couldn't be any less interested. But me, no. But this one time, I was actually with my producer.
Oh, goodness.
Yes,
hello.
Socializing.
He's in the room right
many,
now.
Many years ago. And basically what...
Where were you?
At the Kanye Westival.
Fuck me, that is woeful.
it was really fun. It was a rooftop. So we were there. Yeah, no, it was just a guy that was... I was like pretty drunk and he was just really pushing, you know, trying to kiss me and grope me and stuff. And I wasn't being the most, I was just kind of laughing and pushing him away and wasn't being super assertive. And he was like, you've got to come home with me. And I'd be like, I'm gay. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And also, no, just on so many levels. But I was just saying that to kind of, you know, soften the blow. And he was still just so adamant. And he's like, but you're too attractive to, or you're too hot to be gay, like that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
I was like, thank you. No, just joking. he was saying like a lot of that and I was like, that's fucked. And he's like, no, it's fine. My cousin's gay. Anyway, he was an idiot. And then he propositioned me that we could just go home and he'd go down on me, which doesn't appeal at all. But yeah, he said that as if it was like kind of enticing that I wouldn't, you know, and he just jerk off. And then I'm pretty sure he also propositioned our producer.
Yes.
And for all three of us to go and do something because he worked out that he was gay and I was lesbian. He was just going to, I suppose we were going to spit roast him or something, but neither of us were interested. And it was so bizarre. And
I guess they left out.
He said, he was curious, but he wasn't. But he was curious. Going about it in the wrong way. The wrong way. So,
and he got quite angry when you.
Oh, he did. Yeah. He. Well, I got saved by some men. Like, I mean, people just kept like they noticed I was like very drunken. I think the producer, my producer had gone off somewhere and I was left with this guy for a while. And then I was like saved. You came back. It's fine. Wow. Then I was just, I was totally fine. It was like at 8 o'clock at night. There was people everywhere, but I was more just like still trying to work out how to get out of the situation.
Absolutely.
I wasn't in danger or anything. So
just a lot of red flags.
Yeah. And just basically people came and were just like, hey, do you want to like go over here? And this is why sometimes it's probably empowering for some people to exclude men. Like in that way, like, you know, this is what all those lesbians did in the 70s. They left their husbands and they
created those their farms. Power. And yeah. Went on those farms that were like no men allowed.
Yes. I can't wait to talk about those another episode. Yeah, exactly. That sort of thing. Like being separate, being a lesbian, political lesbian. And sometimes I think maybe when you look at history though, well, the lesbians of the 70s, they were probably quite marginalized. But if you look further back in terms of when comparing gay men and gay women and gay men's sodomy, they were a lot more harshly written about.
Gay men.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%. Someone even like Marie Antoinette. She had, there were rumors that she, there were rumors that she was bisexual and that she had a lot of, you know, female lovers and whatnot. Just kind of swept under the rug.
Mm.
But if it was her husband of the time, good God.
Yeah, there were like actual laws against situation. It. I mean, I think the laws, there are laws now in countries that are against homosexuality, which both women and men face equal punishment.
Yeah.
But back then, it was really, they were focused on the sodomy and they almost were like, oh, women, like, you know, they're very affectionate to each other anyway and they can kiss each other and cuddle. And so if you saw two men kissing in the street, scandalous. If you saw two women, it might be like, oh, they're just, you know, that's what women are like. They're soft and they give each other affection.
Fascinating. But even when I was growing up, if I saw same-sex couples on TV engaging in a kiss or an embrace or whatever, it was generally females.
Yeah.
Prime examples, Ally McBeal. When Ally McBeal and Lucy Liu, I know I've talked about that one previously, or even something as scandalous as Britney Spears and Madonna.
True.
The kiss, but it was celebrated.
Yeah.
Ally McBeal was celebrated. Even Prisoner back in the 1980s, that was sort of like one of the first like same-sex kisses on television.
Yeah.
Yeah, between two women, which was critically regarded. But two men, you really didn't see up until the late 90s.
Yeah.
And even then it was, you know, SBS at 11 o'clock at night.
I'm trying to work out, is that offensive? Because do they just hate gay men more or find gay men more threatening? Or do people kind of like to see women so it's not too offensive? Or are they not taking women's sexuality seriously? Like we've said before, oh, it's more often like a phase or it's not really sex. Whereas gay men, it's like, it's over.
Or it's
serious.
Or it's that viewing situation.
The voyeuristic.
The voyeuristic thing where people like to watch that.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I did come across an interesting story in researching this, which took place in 1721 in Hungary, where a woman performed. A woman had sex with another woman with a dildo or artificial penis, which I'm imagining is some sort of ancient strap-on at the time.
I can only imagine what a 1721 dildo looks like.
Yeah, wooden.
What would have been made out of?
Wood.
Wood.
Splinters. Leather.
Great.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
I mean, it would have been, I don't know. They had.
I mean, yeah, candle. Maybe it was a candle.
Well, this is not a good, this is a sad story because this woman was charged under the sodomy laws.
Right.
Because they were dressed as a man.
Right.
And yeah, they were actually executed. So there's not too many cases of this, but it's like somehow they got around that this was taken more seriously.
Right.
Because of the cross-dressing, you know, the drag element and the fake penis element. And
yep.
Yeah.
So she was dressing as a man so that if they got caught, she would still be a man, like 12.
Yeah, I think I think that they were just, they were dressed as a man in public trying to go under the radar because they were in
a relationship.
Kind of trying to have a heterosexual appearing
gotcha.
Relationship.
Okay, I'm on board.
Not
this
sure
story.
If the person was trans or if they were a woman that was just trying to have their relationship out
and
in
how
the
are they
open.
Caught?
I don't know. Oh, but I don't know. A nosy neighbor or something.
A nosy neighbor.
Horrific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always Gladys across the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is what they say about countries where they have homosexual sex as illegal. Like, how do they know? Like, are people going to lie about it? Are people going to be watching them? Yes, you can make it illegal. That's one thing. But then how do you get caught out?
Yes.
Especially when, you know, the privacy of your own home.
It's scary in that
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, it's scary.
It's really scary.
Yeah.
I think this can all sort of stem back, though, primarily, and I'm a big advocate for it, sex education in schools.
Yes.
Huge one.
Huge.
What was
lacking.
Yours? Lacking. 100%.
I think I had a pretty good one. However, still lacking. Yeah.
Lacking.
Like, from a pretty early age. But also, my mum was fairly proactive.
No.
I think we did go over some things like masturbation, which I suppose some people wouldn't have had that, which I think is good.
Yeah.
And I think, well, when I was getting sex education, it was an all-girls school, so obviously female-focused. I think it'd be good to learn about both as well, for like both sexes or all
sexes.
All sexes. And everyone needs to learn about all the different types of male and female, and then also intersex as well, and that there's different variations of genitalia. If you just cover the anatomy of, you know, women for men and men for women, and then it just leaves it open just to understand. And other things like STIs as well. I don't
absolutely.
Think we got much
and,
about that. And
but also, like, when we were at school, it was just sex education was about pregnancy. This is how a baby is made.
Yeah.
This is how a baby is born. And I'm like, hold on. Like, we didn't even do, like, a condom on a banana. It was like, we didn't even learn about that. Like, you know, the stock standard kind of American teen movies.
Well, even that is, they kind of more do that for the pregnancy thing. But yeah, I don't think mine was overly focused on pregnancy, which I've got to say is good.
We literally, like, because I co-ed school, like, we literally just watched a documentary about the human body. And I'm like, oh my God. I look back now and I think, God, we were deprived of sexual education. And I think it's really important to have it in schools because, especially with the internet these days and pornography,
so much misinformation.
There's so much misinformation. And if the schools don't provide it, when we were teenagers, we went looking for it. And no doubt teenagers nowadays are going to go looking for it. And they will get possibly the wrong ideas about what sex is
or
how to pleasure someone or what an orgasm is or the fact that, you know, men can climax too.
Yep.
But there are, you know, Victoria is actually the most progressive sex education state in Australia.
That's good.
Which I think is incredible because we live in Victoria.
Yep.
Thank God. but there, look, there's programs like the Sexuality Educators Collective, which work independently as consultants that go out to schools. Yeah, and they've got all this wealth of knowledge, but a number of schools sort of push back and they're
we
don't like that terminology, we don't like that term. It's like,
that's the problem, that it is up to the individual school.
Yeah.
It's good to have those organizations that approach the schools, but if the schools aren't receptive to it, then the kids don't get a proper... And it is important because not all kids get it. You know, if your parent, if you're lucky enough to have parents that also are open to talk about those things and find them out, that's great. But not all kids do. And you can't be like, well, they didn't learn it at home. So I feel like it is school's responsibility, but they should be teaching a holistic, educating in a holistic way.
Yes.
It's not just about academics and stuff like that. And yeah, the sex education thing, like it, I felt like even though mine wasn't that bad, but it did also lack so much. You know, once a year or twice a year isn't really the best way is to incorporate it across the subjects in different ways, because it's there's like a social element and then there's a biological, you know, science sort of side, like in primary school, especially like early on from an early age, you know, age appropriate stuff. Generally, the way you learn about sex is that it is for making babies and when you're young. But then when you get older, it's not about that. That it generally should be shifting towards it. Kids are going to be curious and sexually active. And yeah, so just tailoring
and
it to that.
Exploring.
Exploring. But yeah, making it one subject is limiting. I think other overseas, the places that have the best, you know, statistics in regards to sexual health, they've really integrated it.
Well, it wasn't even like it was one subject. It was like one class in science or one class in health and human development.
Yeah.
And then it was like, and now we're just going to go into the aging process. I'm like, no. Yeah. No.
That's terrible.
Let's go back. Yeah. Let's absolutely go back. Because we were all sort of, it was just sort of like
especially for
blind leading the blind.
Gay men as well. Like, there is so much extra sexual health, preventive sort of stuff that, you know, it would be so helpful for people to know
in school
earlier.
Absolutely.
Aren't they scared of kids getting STIs?
And like I said earlier, this is why these independent consultants are so important, because they'll come out and if the teachers or the principals are too awkward to talk about it, the consultants will do it.
Yeah, or
they'll do all the work. Yeah. I mean, Family Planning Victoria have got one. And then, of course, in Victoria, we've also got the Safe Schools program, which provides safe school environment to all LGBTIQ teenagers, and I guess provides them also with resources to a degree in regards to sexual health and sexuality, et cetera.
Yeah, just about having sex ed be more inclusive of everyone.
Yeah. Which, let's be honest, safe schools should be across Australia.
Yeah, it's insane. it's crazy that...
Ridiculous that they're not. Mm-hmm. It's actually just a fucking disgrace that they're not there. And that's my two cents. You know, Lenny, we mentioned the term muff diving earlier.
Yes.
And it reminded me, it took me back to 2006 when I was in year 12. And
what were you doing?
was not diving into a muff. We were actually studying at my quite a conservative Catholic school, as you know, that I went to.
Yep.
And we were actually in our year 12 literature class studying poetry by the 20th century lesbian poet Adrian Rich.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we were focusing on poetry from her book called Diving into the Wreck.
That's surprising. This whole thing.
I know.
That's, maybe your school was didn't realize or was more progressive in other ways.
I think it was actually my English lit teacher. She was very progressive and was all about sort of pushing these great works onto us, which was awesome.
Yep.
You know, teenagers being teenagers, because Adrienne Rich, for anyone that doesn't know, she's one of the most influential poets of the second half of the 20th century. And she's actually pretty much credited for bringing about the oppression of women and lesbians to the forefront of poetic discourse. So she passed away in 2012. Very sad, but she originally was just the stock standard 1950s kind of housewife, and then started getting into poetry and had always been quite artistic, and then through that found her sexuality and liberation and whatnot. But, you know, being the heinous sort of 17-year-olds that we were in class, because there was 18 of us or so, and the works were called Diving into the Wreck, we made a 3-month joke about the fact that we'd always refer to it as diving into the muff. Oh, fuck. Our literature teacher by the end was like,
regretting her choice.
Oh, my God. No, she didn't actually regret it. She actually got to a point where she sat the whole class down and just berated the whole class for the fact that we were actually incredibly offensive and disrespectful to this incredible artist.
Yeah.
Despite, you know, whether or not she was a movie star or a poet or even just, you know, somebody walking down the street, the fact that our whole class was making a joke about one of her work and referring to it in regards to diving into the muff, diving into the vagina. It was incredible because myself and my friend Marnie, lesbian Marnie, we were both sitting in that class. And I'll admit, we did go along with the jokes at the beginning because it was kind of funny and whatever else, because it was just sort of backhanded comments. But then when Miss Audie was her name, gave us this massive fucking spiel to the whole class. We were sitting there and like, it was that sort of, we weren't out yet, but we're like, oh my God, we're so proud, but like, we can't say anything. And it was full on. It was really full on. But she was just incredible because again, as I say, 2006, and she just went hammer and tong, and the whole class just, we never said diving into the muff again. Not one person in that class.
So there were a string of comedies in the noughties that, you know, reference some of these terms.
Mm-hmm.
So Wedding Crashers.
Yes.
In hindsight, it's a surprisingly offensive and homophobic film. The grandma in it is constantly calling everyone a homo, but also calls Eleanor Roosevelt the wife of the... United States president. A rug muncher, a dyke, and a lesbian mule.
Oh, right.
Which is just so shocking. just so shocking that that was funny, you know, back then back or then. In like a mainstream comedy.
Which wasn't even like 20 years ago.
No. Mm. And then there's not another teen movie, which for a spoof or whatever you want to call it, a spoof, a parody film, it's got like its moments. It's pretty funny.
It was like the first of
yeah, it's the first of before sort of they spoofs. All went yeah. downhill. So the character of Janie, she's a not-so-secretly hot nerd who's called a lesbo by her brother for reading Sylvia Plath, listening to Bikini Kill and eating tofu. And her father encouragingly says, if she wants to be a rug muncher, that's her decision. It's kind of funny. Oh, yeah. And then there's the 1978 Cheech and Chong film Up in Smoke, where there's a number plate that says MUF DVR, which
yes.
is supposed to be Muff Diver as well. So that was usually the Muff Diver rug muncher is the go-to funny slur.
And then, of course, there's the 1991 film Thelma and Louise.
Classic.
It's a yes.
Bit, yep.
Where a truck driver actually yells out, hey, baby, I'm your Captain Muff Diver.
That's a classic and has a lot of lesbian subtext. So that's the recommendation of all those terrible films for me.
The one.
The one non-offensive the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Lenny, and like putting my muff back into its case and back into the closet for another year, we too have come to the end of an episode.
Oh, yes, it's been great. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Oh, you can listen and follow the show at Word of the Gay Pod on Facebook, Twitter, and of course, Instagram.
And send us through any word suggestions.
Any suggestions at all. It's always been a hoot, Lenny. I have a hoot with you. I have a hoot with our listeners.
Yes, me too. We're Word of the Gay. And we'll see you in a fortnight.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.